As we begin Masech to Saita, a brief introduction is in place. Basically, everybody's in agreement that a kinoy needs two witnesses, except for one on the Amar and the Gemara, but in the Mishnah here, everybody agrees that a kinoy, a warning about history and plainly do not seclude him so-and-so, is bifnei shnayim, and the stira is a machlokes, Rav Elezer and Rav Yeshua. Rav Elezer holds an eid echad, and Rav Yeshua holds that even stira needs two witnesses. The lashon of the Mishnah is a little bit interesting. It says, umashka al pishnayim. Perhaps one would have suggested that it should have said Ustira al pishnayim or Venisteris al pishnayim. In other words, that the seclusion, just like the kinoy, has to be in front of two witnesses. Why are we speaking about the hashkoah as if the hashkoah is a direct result of the stira, the seclusion? Moreover, if you look in Rashi, Umashka al pi'edechav, Rashi says, Acha shekinesu anasteris pistira ad shetishta. She becomes forbidden with the seclusion until she drinks. I might have thought that she becomes forbidden as a saita does. The story of a saita is as follows. Reuben is married to Leah, and he says to her, Altistri and Plainy do not seclude with so-and-so. And then she goes, and she secludes with so-and-so. So on the one hand, there's no concrete evidence at all that there was a znus in the first place. However, on the flip side, there was definitely grounds for concern because of the improper conduct of her secluding with this fellow that her husband warned her not to seclude with him. And therefore, also known as Raglayim Ladover, there is reason for concern. So again, we have a kina and a stira, we have a warning and a seclusion, which is alarming, but we do not have any concrete evidence, we only have the concern, a.k.a. the Raglayim Ladover. Why does it say in Rashi, and the Rambam, by the way, as well, says this Lashon, that she is Asura Ad Shatish, that she is forbidden until she drinks? Shouldn't the situation be that the Torah said that a Saita, who has kina and stira, is forbidden to her husband? And the Torah gave a remedy, or basically a process, of hashkah, of giving her to drink the mayim hamorim, as we'll see later on, like the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Nosai. And that can prove, if she doesn't blow up, we know that she is clean. Why does it say Asura Ad Shetishta? It sounds like the whole Isra of Saita was constructed in a way that it was only until she drinks. What exactly does that mean? I would like to discuss numerous different things that come up throughout the Masechta, and are very interesting and helpful for all the limud of Masechta Saita. And with that, we might be able to understand this a little bit better. Later on the Daled Amud Aleph, there are numerous shittas in the Gemara about the exact time of the seclusion necessary to be considered a real stira lahalacha that would be between the kinoy and the hashkah, or that would forbid a woman who has kinoy and stira. How long does the stira have to be? In other words, how long does it take to commit the act which is asering al baila? How many minutes or seconds, how long does it take? The Gemara discusses over there numerous Mandi Amrim. Tosfos over there is quick to point out on top from the Yerushalmi that of course this is besides the time that it takes for Asaras Asinah, the removal of the clothing. Because obviously, practically speaking, we're talking about Asaring Isha al Baila Biznus. You need to have time for the whole thing to take place, not just the Maisa, but also the preparation that is basically mandatory and necessary for the Maisa to have happened. Strangely enough, however, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch omit the whole thing. They just say, when they talk about the Isra'isha Levaila from Saita, they do not say anything about the Hasara Sassina. They just talk about the times that they're paskening from that Gemara for the actual Maisa. And this is also, by the way, related to Hilchas Yichud. Obviously, there's the Isra of Yichud. How long is the Isra of Yichud, besides for the discussion of the Isra of Chatzi Shir? So Rav Moshe Feinstein obviously says that, besides for the regular time, you also need the time of the removal of the clothing. However, la halacha in Hilchas Saita, in Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, the Hasaras Asiner is omitted, which is very, very interesting. And the Karen Ur, as well as the Briskerov, ask this question and they leave it with a tzarechin. How could it be that this is not brought down la halacha? How could it possibly be that legally the din of kinei and sira asked with labayla, even if there was no time for Hasaras Asiner, which basically means that we know that nothing really severe happened. Another fundamental question on the whole Indian of Saita is that the Gemara tells us later on Daf Chafalef and other places, on Daf Zayin and so on, that there's an Indian of Zchus Toila. Zchus Toila means that if the Isha has wondrous merits, they could stand as a Zchus and help her make it through the drinking of the Saita water, even if she actually was Mizana, she will survive and not blow up. That being said, every time you go through the process after Kina and Stira to give her the drink, and if she doesn't blow up, then presumably she didn't do anything wrong and she's Mutter Labailo, maybe it was Chostaila, and she's still Asi Labailo. How could it be that they can continue as well? How could she go back Labailo if the Hashkas Asaita, if the drinking of the water is definitely not 100% demonstration that there was no Znus? Maybe there was Znus, there was just a Schus. She had some type of wonderful merit that was zoicha her that she should be saved from the dangers and the blowing up of the waters. So how could she be then mimuti lebayla in the first place? I would like to suggest a little bit of a novel approach to all this. And we'll begin with the Gemara at the end of the second parak about if Aisha could be chayzer v'shoysa. The Mishnah says in Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis that Rav Meir holds that amongst the other things that are included in the Saita process are also that she says Omen Shaloya Tame, which means that when you give Ashkoas a Saita, you also include coverage that if she'll ever be Mizana in the future, she'll also blow up as well because of the Mayim Amorim that she's drinking now. So in other words, if she were to drink at one point the Mayim Amorim after Kine and Stira, and she would say Omen Shaloya Tame, that would actually cause that even if she's Mizana 10 years down the road, she'll blow up then because of the previously drunk Mayim Hamorim. So basically, the question is obviously like the Marit and the Mishnah Melech, Karanoyah, Mechaz Chinuch, many Achroinim wonder, what's the whole sugi over there on the bottom of Yitzchas Amud Beis about if Isha could be Chayzer V'Shoysa? Why in the world would she have to be Chayzer V'Shoysa? If the first drinking that she already drank is covering her for life, at any time that she used to be Mizana, the water that she had already drunk will cause it to blow up. So why do you have to drink again ever? One time drinking it is enough for life. Like the Gemara Mishnah says, Amen Shalaya Tama. And it works, like the Gemara tells us in the middle of the Amen there. So why is there a whole discussion about whether you have to drink again? Perhaps the answer, however, is that if you look in Rashi over there on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph on top, as well as the Taisis on the bottom line of Yud Ches Amud Beis, and likewise in the Rambam, he speaks about a case where the husband who gave her the kinyan and the stira and then gave her to drink the mayim amarim actually went and did another kinyan. And obviously, presumably, there was another stira after that, and we're discussing about being chayzer v'shoysa, drinking again the mayim amarim the second time around after a new kinyan and a new stira. So I was thinking, and basically I found this whole concept in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker in the Kisvei Maron HaGriz, the Kisvei HaTalmidim of the Briskerov in Saita over there, that he brings down that Reb Chaim pondered very strongly that perhaps even if you say Omen Shaloya Tama, that drinking one time works forever, and she says that I will never become Tama in the future, and if I do, obviously the water now will be biting me then, and therefore any time that she's secludes and Chas V'Shalom as Mizana, she would blow up because of the previously drunk Mayim Amarim. Nevertheless, if there's a new Kine and a Stira, and she doesn't blow up, she wouldn't be Mutter Levayla. It's only a verification, a clarity, a demonstration from the fact that she didn't blow up that there was no Znus. But nevertheless, if there was a new Kine and a new Stira, then guess what? That triggers the need for a new Hashkoh. The Din HaTorah of Saita is that after Kine and Stira, you have to do a Hashkoh. And even though you did a previous Hashkoh, that Hashkoh definitely works. The physical powers of the Meis Saita will work forever. But the Din Hashkoh that the Torah requires after Kine and Stira, that has to be done again. And otherwise, she will be also Levayla. That's how the Kisvei Talmidei HaGriz conclude the second parak of Saita in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker. That being said, we see quite clearly if this is true, which I think it might be, that a stira requires a hashkoh, and it's not necessarily about whether there was nus or not, even though it's obviously all about that, but the structure of the Torah's rule, again, is even though there's only reglayim l'davar and we don't know for sure, the Torah says, if you did kine and stira, you gotta do hashkoh, which is usually a very good demonstration. Yes, there might be a case of schus toila, and yes, there might not have been hasaras hasinner, no less. So we know that there was no znus, but it doesn't matter. The halacha is that you need kinui and you need stira, and then you have hashkoh. Sorry, if there's kinui and the stira, then you need hashkoh. Whether or not the question is if there was nus or not, that's not so much the point. Obviously, it's all about that. But the gzeres hakosav is that you need to have hashkoh. So A, even if there was no asaras hasinner, you still need to have hashkoh. And B, even if you had hashkoh earlier, but that would not serve the purpose that hashkoh serves as the kiyum din of the parasha of Saita, that after kine and stira you need hashkoh. If he had a new kine and stira on his wife after the hashkoh, even if she said omen shaloya tama, she still would need another hashkoh. Later on in the Gemara on Chafav Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses the possibility that if someone's mekaneh es ishtoi al tistari in Pliny, and Pliny was a shochef, which means he wasn't able to properly perform a ma'aseh biyah. Now normally, the whole parasha of Saita like we've been discussing is all about whether or not she was nesra al bayla v'znus. So if he's not able to do the ma'aseh, then what is the reason of concern? And the Gemara asks the question, and the Gemara says that it's pekpeinah de baal talya milsa. And the Gemara says, Kamash Rulon, but Lamaisa, the Gemara says, it's Pikpeda de Baal Talia Milsa. It's all about the husband's rules, the husband's Kpeda, the husband's concerns. And therefore, he has the right to dictate what bothers him, if you will, and what doesn't, even if not necessarily there's a potential of a real znus that's going to answer La Halacha Al Baila. From here, the Beis Halevi and Chelik Beis Simen Mem, as well as Rabban Kotler, derive that in the Parsha of Saita there's a whole new tool called Kpeda de Baal, and it's not necessarily about the znus itself, but about what the husband, as the owner of the marriage, dictated. And if he dictated Shachaf as a Kinoi, similarly, maybe perhaps we could find such a concept if the husband says Altistri with a Katan, who not necessarily had the potential to answer, also would be included. This might be very strongly related to everything that we're discussing. And again, we're just trying to sprinkle a lot of information about what Kinoi and Stira is. And perhaps that's what Rashi and the Rambam mean when they say Asura Achatishta. Because again, it's all about Achatishta. Even if you make a shtia, and it might have been Schus Taila, and so on and so forth, there might not necessarily be a 100% demonstration of Hetel Labayla because of lack of Znus. But don't forget, we don't know for sure that there was a Znus. It's all about the din of the Torah that was concerned with the Raglayim Ladover. Because of the misproper conduct of Stira after Kinui, that there should be Ashka. If you did Ashka, you're Mutter Labayla. As long as Ashka was done, Kedin. I'll close with an interesting question, some food for thought. The Gemara says on Bezim and Bez over here, a person should not tell his wife, Bizman Hazeh, in the current times, that she should not seclude with someone else, because that can result, Chas V'Shalom, in being Osir Levayla forever if she, Chas V'Shalom, is Nister. Now suppose a fellow was going out of town, or even if he was just going somewhere, and he tells his wife, you know, Don Gabriel Weinberger, the plumber, is coming today to fix the sink. Make sure not to close the door and lock it, because that could be a Shiloh of Yichur. Or if he just says, make sure not to lock the door when Don Gabriel Weinberger is here. That's basically like saying, I'll say three employees of Bizman Hazeh. And if Chas V'Shalom, they close the door for a second, they might really be up the creek. What is the answer? Not only that, but you don't even have to have a Yiddish plumber, because Altistri and Pliny is also even by a Goy, like the Gemara says later on in Chavavim and Beis, and that's how we paskin la'halacha, and the Rambam and so on. If you're still there, I'd like to suggest, perhaps, the answer to this question, is that when somebody says, don't lock the door, or be careful not to lock the door, and stuff like that, and we know clearly, or even if we don't know clearly, it was all meant with regard to prevention from the Isra of Yichur, as opposed to any kinoi or suspicion or warning, then it wouldn't be called a kinoi, and it wouldn't be included in this din, and therefore, of course, it wouldn't be a kinoi, and it would be mutter. More on this can be found in Evan Ezer, Simon Kufay and Ches, and the Pesach Chuvus of Kotten Pesval.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.